to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
A little somber, sentimental salute to the Queen, who liked to spend a little bit of time at the track, Queen Elizabeth II. Passed earlier this week. We'll talk a little bit about her. What a week it has been. Oh my gosh, what a week that Colonial had, and the performance of a secretariat-like performance by Flightline out in California late Saturday night. It has been a week of racing here in Virginia. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. On today's show, we'll speak with the urban handicapper, Barry Spears, former Virginia Union basketball player, and knows from great basketball lineage. He'll join us in about 15 minutes here on Off to the Races. We'll have Daryl Wood just around the corner. He had a busy week. Boy, did, with the opening of Shenandoah Downs, the fair meet concluded last week, but now they get into the fall meet with harness racing up in central of Woodstock. And we'll speak to Daryl Wood about that in about 5 or 7 minutes. And then, of course, Frank Vespi will be living the dream. His guest today will be Jill Byrne, the vice president of racing at Colonial Downs. It's kind of become a tradition. I don't know how many years it takes to become a tradition, but she's joined us at the conclusion of every meet, and we need her help because this was a monumental week of racing at Colonial Downs, and it's just too much for one person to try to explain. We'll have Jill Byrne here in about 35 minutes. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson, who's just a unique handicapper in his own right. We'll see what his thoughts may be on racing. There's racing at Pimlico today, racing at Kentucky Downs, racing at Del Mar. They're still going out there on the West Coast. And we'll start, though, with the Virginia Derby. Field of 10 going to the gate. Well-balanced group. It's hard to really find a standout other than you had Compensis, who was ridden by Arad Ortiz, who had maybe the best 2 days in racing. I can't remember 2 days in racing where a jockey has dominated, and I think that's what made Compensis the favorite in the Virginia Derby. But there were other contenders in the field. I actually had Limited Liability with his brother on board, Jose Ortiz, thinking maybe he could repeat in the Virginia Derby. We spoke with Graham Motion, who had Royal Patronage in the race as well. Let's hear Jason Beam bring him home in the Virginia Derby.
As they come to the top of the stretch, Catnip and Royal Patronage, these two off the turn. Compensis looms just in behind them. Unanimous Consent continues to try to follow that move. Here's Compensis right down the outside, trying to come after Catnip. Compensis now goes to the front. Catnip, Royal Patronage back second, third. Late run from California Frolic from out of the pack. It's Compensis, the leader at the 16th pole. Compensis still in front. Limited Liability starting a run, but Compensis going to go on to win it here. Another one for Irad. Compensis wins the Virginia Derby.
The high price colt delivered, and so did Irad Ortiz. Went off as a favorite, $5.20 for the win for Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, among others. Todd Pletcher, the winning trainer, he wins another Virginia Derby. And a solid performance there by Compensis. Irad Ortiz just had a, as I mentioned before the call, just a huge week. He actually won the Virginia Oaks as well aboard Spirit and Glory, and that was on a higher priced horse. That horse paid $19.20. We can't just shoehorn the race call or the Virginia Oaks into the show, but I actually thought that was Jason Beam's best call of the day because there was some commotion at the top of the stretch, and he still found Spirit and Glory moving on the outside. That is extremely hard to do as a race caller, and I thought that was, go back and listen to that call if you get the chance for the Virginia Oaks with Spirit and Glory picking up that one. But let's hear from the jockey of the week at Colonial Downs, Arad Ortiz, who had a little bit of experience with this horse, getting an opportunity to work with him.
I worked the horse in the morning. He was working good. My brother, I think he had to ride another horse for sure. He'd been riding. And I got lucky. I ended up on top of this horse.
What's it like to come in here and win five?
It's great. It's great. My agent, Steve Rochin, do a great job. And trainers and owner, they give me a good opportunity on the horses.
That race was sort of like the Virginia Oaks, wasn't it? How was it different than the race, the Derby versus the Oaks? It almost was the same type of trip, right?
I mean, the other filly was back in the pack. She make a long run. Pace was different. I think was a little faster in the first part of the race, and she was available to come running and make a big run outside and run them down. And this horse was a little more close to it, and he got a perfect trip. Give me a good run all the way to the wire.
Mario Pino won 7 races here in a day. You've done 5, and this is like your third trip here or something like that.
Yeah, it might be my second trip here, but Michael is a great guy. He's a great jockey too. It's not easy to win 7 races in a day, so I'm blessed. I'm glad I win 5 races today. I'm very happy.
You looking forward to tomorrow racing here? Maybe get 7
yes,
more?
Yes, hopefully. Let's see. We will try.
At what point did you realize that it was the right time to make your move when you're coming down the front stretch?
3 or 4, I'll check my horse. Check a little bit, and he responded really well. He jumped to the horse. I was like half a length already, and I say going to the quarterco, and I say, man, I'm gonna just keep going. I don't wanna wait for nobody. Just asking, and he just keep giving me something. He give me a big run.
Did he feel like a $2 million horse?
I mean, he's a expensive horse, but he looks like he can improve. He can keep improving. He's a young horse, only three races, you know. So it's early, but he have a good future in front of him if he stays sound and healthy.
Rad Ortiz had an exceptional 2 days. 9 of 13 was his tally, and I think he was mad about the 4 that he didn't win. That's just how competitive he is. And I mean, he just, I rad, I rode, I conquered when he came to Colonial Downs. I think I faintly heard the Immigrant Song in the background when he was delivering some of those wins, because he was just a conquering hero. It's a big place, Colonial Downs, but he just came in and put his boot and just squished the competition. It was interesting to hear like some of the jockeys like Victor Carrasco and Heavy in Toledo, who ended up being the winner of the riding title at Colonial Downs, talk about competing with Irad Ortiz. He 10 for 18 for the meet overall, but 5 stakes on the last 2 days, and just a solid performance. Want to reach out here to Daryl Wood. Had some other stuff lined up, but we may try and get to that later in the show. Want to make sure we bring Daryl in. So Daryl, thanks for joining. Just a couple other notes about the meet. The handle the last 2 days exceeded $6 million. I mean, the handicapping and the handle was great the last 2 days. Over six million each one a record over the previous. So not only did a rad come in, but also the handle came in on the last 2 days of racing at Colonial Downs. And now I think we can give Daryl a proper introduction with Eddie from Ohio.
Menial Wool Dominion, talking just southeast of heaven to the surf and the hills.
She is the best of 13 sisters.
It gets you up and moving, Daryl,
sweet,
doesn't it?
Sweet Virginia always keeps an open door.
That makes my
good morning,
Saturday
Daryl.
Morning. Makes my Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's your Saturday morning candy bar, right? Get you going for the weekend. let's start with just a recap of the week that Colonial Downs had. I know you had the fair, and we'll talk about Shenandoah Downs here in a minute, but, I mean, what a performance for the closing week, not only by Irad Ortiz, but for the track itself. It was an exceptional meet. Just smashed handle records. I think the previous high handle mark, and that's even like when Colonial was going 40, 45 days, never exceeded 50 million. Had your feet on the line on 75 million for the meet. I mean, just what are your thoughts on the meet, especially the last 2 days?
Well, yeah, just to pick up where you left with Irad Ortiz, I mean, he, over the 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, he won 4 consecutive stake races. The Oaks and Derby on Tuesday, and the first two of the Virginia restricted races on Wednesday. So quite an accomplishment. Just great to be in the presence of greatness. That was just a wonderful experience. But yeah, the last 2 days just rocked. Even Labor Day, huge crowd on Labor Day. It felt so good to see a packed house again, given the racing schedule the last few years. On the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everybody kind of knew Labor Day with everybody off would be a great day, and it was. But the betting on Tuesday and Wednesday was just, you know, through the stratosphere. To handle over $6 million on back-to-back days in Virginia, I never, ever, I don't think anyone ever thought that would ever happen. So to be there for that and, you know, to see the quality of racing and to see the ascension of Colonial Downs onto the national racing landscape, it's very exciting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of potential for this track. One of your biggest fans, I think, this week was the governor, and the governor isn't the only person in the household, I think, that had a good time at Colonial Downs. Let's hear what he had to say. Two.
And she's pretty darn good. And so it's one of the things that, you know, she's constantly said that not only is Virginia the best place to live, work, and raise a family, but it's the best place to be a horse. There you go.
Yeah, talking about being a horse, I mean, he's talking about the first lady who knows something about horses as well. But, you know, it's a great place to be a horse, and it's going to be a great place to be a horse in Woodstock this fall as the meet moves on there. You've already got spent a large portion of Labor Day weekend as part of the fair at Shenandoah, as I refer to it. What do we have looking ahead next fall? This fall,
yeah, we're rolling right into the harness race season, and I know that we talked a lot about Colonial Downs and how the race days have increased to 27 race days over 8 weeks this year, and next year I know they're planning on 30. Harness racing's realizing that same growth. The past 4 or 5 years has been a 5 week season up in Woodstock, Virginia. This week it goes to 8 weeks, and next year, believe it or not, goes to 14 weeks. So the historic horse racing machines that you see at the Rosie sites and at Colonial Downs are really boosting the industry. There's a lot of purse money out there now, and it's being shown in the rapid growth of harness racing. But yeah, we start this coming Friday out of Woodstock. It's at the Shenandoah County Fairgrounds. Really nice drive between Harrisonburg and Winchester if you're in the Richmond market. We're going to race Fridays from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock and Saturday afternoons from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. That goes on for 8 weeks. And I tell you what, if you like hiking, if you like wineries, if you like craft breweries, you would be in heaven in Woodstock. And then add the racing component to it, and it reeks of a day or a weekend trip. So hope to see a lot of listeners up in the Shenandoah Valley here over the next 8 weeks, because it's a real great throwback track. There's a lot of charm. There's no really great amenities from a customer creature standpoint, but the charm is fantastic. The racing is great. We've got betting, obviously. We're going to, you'll be able to bet it this year for the first time. Very exciting here on TVG, TwinSpires, ExpressBet, and NairaBet. So first time ever, the fans can bet Shenandoah Downs online.
Yeah, I'll throw one more in there for Shenandoah Downs. You got the air. We kind of got a little bit of that in terms of the closing week at Colonial Downs, where the weather was perfect. Turned out to be great. A little bit of cool breeze coming through, and that breeze is going to carry all the way up to Shenandoah, Shenandoah Downs. Daryl, thanks for joining us on Off to the Races. We got to keep going.
You got it, Nick. Look forward to hearing Jill's recap as well.
Great. Daryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races this morning. And we want to bring in now the urban handicapper who hosts a number of signals, especially at Tampa, former Virginia Union basketball player who may have taught Ben Wallace the inside game. We're not exactly sure. Great basketball lineage, and he knows something about lineage. Barry Spears joins us on Off to the Races, and And Barry, maybe let's just start off with this race call, because it's going to be of interest through the fall. It's just going to be hard to forget the impact that Flightline had last Saturday night in the Pacific Classic. It was very Secretariat-esque. Here's Trevor Denman with the call.
Quarter of a mile to go in the Pacific Classic. Flavion Pratt and Flightline are an embarrassing lead. It must be 15 lengths as they turn for home now. And let's see, Flavion Pratt just shakes the reins at Flightline. And take a good look at this, because you're not going to see this too often, maybe never again. Flightline, 20 lengths clear. Flavion Pratt takes a hold and canters in the TVG Pacific Classic. Second place will go to Country Grammar. Then came Royal Ship Express Train, Extra Hope, and Stiletto Boy.
Flightline, an impressive winner. Good morning, Barry. What did you think of that?
Oh, man, that was such a great performance. I mean, you know, I was born after Secretariat, and, you know, I could only imagine what the people felt like and saw that day. You know, Flightline is just amazing. He just absolutely destroyed that field.
We're talking with Barry Spears, the urban handicapper, on Twitter. And Barry, it seems like I've been just behind you. I just missed you up at Saratoga and some of the travels around the world, or at least around the country. But, you know, what are your thoughts of just this past week of racing, and maybe include, as you know, I'm sure you saw the big 2 days at Colonial, actually 3 days if you include Labor Day, that Colonial Downs had. I mean, there's no lull in the racing season this summer, is there?
No, I mean, you know, this time of year was actually a lot better. You know, in previous years, the Colonial was spectacular all season. Their whole season was great. And provided a great alternative when Saratoga and Del Mar weren't available. So, like you said, it was just ran right into each other the whole week. The whole month of August was absolutely great for any kind of horse fan and better.
I read Ortiz. I mean, he just came in as a conquering conqueror, I guess, at Colonial Downs. He'd raced there once before earlier in the meet. He was 1-for-5 in terms of winning percentage, which a lot of jockeys will take. You know, you win 20% of your races, I won't say you're fully satisfied, but you're content, maybe. But then he comes back and pulls off. Have you ever seen a jockey just come in and dominate like he did those last 2 days? Whether he had some Cadillacs, but you know, he had some long shots that he delivered too.
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks to his talent as a rider. You know, it's tough to switch circuits, go to a different track. The configurations are different. The you know, length of the stretch is different, and just to come in and just basically just bully everybody there and dominate the scene is definitely a sight to see. You know, I haven't seen that in a long, long time. I mean, even when in the heyday, when Angel Cordero was around and Lafitte, those guys really didn't do that kind of stuff. They kind of beat up on each other. They were all winning. But this was something on another level.
There's more racing today as we look at this unique meet at Kentucky Downs that is popular for the full fields and the high purses, and really, honestly, I have not had a chance to take a great look at the meet at Kentucky Downs, but I took a little closer look today, and I think that's kind of a testament to what Colonial has meant to racing over the summer. When you look at this field, these fields at Kentucky Downs today, there are a lot of Colonial starters. Flippant, who won the Virginia Oaks last year, is entered today in the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf Sprint. You know, there's just a number of starters that were in this year's meet that have traveled to Kentucky, along with Arad, who's slated to race there today. Necker Island, who a little bit of would have had the track record if not for a DQ at Colonial Downs over the summer. What do you make of Kentucky Downs today? Who do you like?
Yeah, it's such a great meet. The purses are astronomical, so you're going to attract a lot of horsemen from all over the place. You know, we got some California guys out here, Kentucky, New York, Florida. So, you know, it's really like a coming together of the horse world. There's a few horses I like today. One in the fifth, actually, which is the Mint Million. It's a million-dollar race. It's a grade three, which is hilarious to me. But the number two horse, Pixelate, should get a good setup under Joel Rosario. He just can't get too far back, and I think he'll have a good shot in that fifth race. There's another horse in the eighth who I think is kind of a lone speed kind of situation in the ladies' turf that you were just speaking about. Lady Spite Spear, I think that horse might go wire to wire with him. Definitely the class of the field, and hopefully she can take him the whole way. 8-1 morning line, so maybe we'll get a price. And then in the 11th race, there's a horse that I like that actually is a pretty decent price. Toby's Heart. I like Toby's Heart to upset the apple cart in the ladies sprint at 6.5. Kind of coming into this race the same way as she did a few years ago. You know, won a race over the track and should get a favorable pace set up. It's another one that's a little bit pace dependent. There's a ton of speed in this race, and a lot of long shots with a lot of speed, and everybody should be coming. And I think Toby's Heart at 15-1 morning line, we could give her a shot.
That's why they call him the sniper. Picking some nice prices here. I appreciate you maybe giving me that, let me use your nickname. I was hoping maybe I could own it for a week last week with that incredible ticket at Saratoga. What were your thoughts about Saratoga as that meet came to a close on Monday?
Yeah, you know, it's really an indication of what's going to happen in the future. I think that the Saratoga meet is going to be even longer than it was this year, kind of creeping up towards like 4th of July eventually. But I think the horse players are here for it. The fields were really, really good. I mean, there were some exceptional races this year. You know, you think about Epicenter and his two victories in the Jim Dandy and the Travers that were really good. Casa Creed, that four-star day when I was actually up there. That was a hell of a race. And, you know, it was just one after the other, you know, and Saratoga just doesn't disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, just great atmosphere up there, and you know, I really had enjoyed the 2 days. Maybe next year we can sync together so that we actually can spend some time in the backyard. You mentioned some of these horses, though, like Pixelate. You know, he's coming out of that Buckland race, as well as you know, some of these other horses, Kentucky Ghost, you know, that are running today. So these are all horses that have had some sort of success at Colonial Downs, many of whom that you selected here that are moving forward at Kentucky Downs. That we'll be looking for those plays during the card today. Anything else you'd like to add? What's up next for Barry Spears? A guy that's kind of moving up on the handicapping scene, a racing contest performer. You know, what are you looking forward to this fall?
The fall, I've been kicking around the idea of showing up at the Breeders' Cup. I'm not sure if I'm actually going to do that, but you know, I'm kind of looking past the fall into the winter. You know, when Tampa Bay opens up and, you know, Gulfstream has their championship meet. That's really when it kind of picks up for me. Like, summer and fall is kind of slower, but the wintertime for me is real, real upbeat pace. You know, just goes crazy. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Should be doing some things with Tampa Bay this winter. Maybe a little bit more on some other, you know, networks, things of that sort. But you'll see me around for sure.
Absolutely. Jason Beam, of course, who calls the races at Colonial, calls the races at Tampa as well. So that's great. Barry, thanks for spending some time with us on Off to the Races this morning, and good luck on the Kentucky Downs card today. Hopefully you snipe some of those prizes.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Great. Barry Spears joining us on Off to the Races this morning. We're heading to break. On the other side, we'll be living the dream with Frank Vespi. You've got Jill Byrne slated in his slot there. So looking forward to that. Stay with us. You're listening to the RacingBiz.com presented Off to the Races.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features seven stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA-bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania two-year-old stallion series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy Hour Racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock and on September 17th, it's free long sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family. Friendly.
Champion Gunrunners Full Brother Fortune Ticket and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at AnchorHopeFarm.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them, 9 weeks of racing in 2022. More money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs. More days, more money, more fun. First post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
Welcome back to Off to the Races, everybody. Frank Vespi here for a little visit with Colonial Downs Vice President of Racing Operations, Jill Byrne. We got a little Grateful Dead to play you in. Good morning, Jill.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was planned, since I'm notorious deadhead. So nice to be brought in by a little Shakedown Street.
It actually was planned, so every once in a while. Let's start with this. You guys are coming off a record-setting meet. Virginia Derby Day, you do $6.5 million in handle, which just shatters all the records. You have the Governor Glenn Youngkin, on the ground singing the praises of Colonial Downs for its impact on agriculture and tourism. That's quite a strong finish to the meet. You guys must have been ecstatic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the entire meet was just fantastic from start to finish. Even with the one day we canceled due to excessive heat, we were able to make up those races throughout the rest of the race card. So it was a really good meet, very strong support from horsemen all around the country, and you know, always great support from all the Virginia horsemen and the Virginia breeders as well. So to end on Virginia Derby and then on Virginia Bred Day the following day with another $6.1 million in handle that day, I think was a testament to the entire racing team at Colonial Downs.
daily average handle was up about 30% versus 2021, which is really strong growth, particularly at a time when national handle is basically flat. What do you attribute that to?
I think a variety of things. You know, obviously, we had really strong racing. Strong fields, quality has improved every year as our product has become, you know, more recognizable and wagering public, you know, comfortable with the field size. We have great field size. I think this year it was 8.35, you know, majority turf racing. But I really think just a consistent product that we've now developed in the short 4 years. And I think all of that, you know, kind of helped just recognizable for people. And one thing I was telling someone the other day, I think is interesting for the handle numbers as well. I think because we have such a mix of horsemen and horses from all over the country, it makes it a unique and challenging proposition for gamblers out there, especially kind of, you know, a lot of your top gamblers. And, you know, it's not the same horses always running against each other in the same horsemen and short 5-6 horse fields.
I think it's an interesting point, and I wanted to ask you about that because in its first incarnation, Colonial Downs was basically the summer home for Maryland racing, and you added in a few Virginia people, but it was basically Maryland just moved south a little bit. Now it's kind of what Jason Beam, your track announcer, called a convergence meet. You got people coming from Kentucky and Florida and Chicago and Maryland and all over the place. And when you started this project, you know, when Colonial Downs came back to life in 2019, was this what you were aiming for? And were you confident that you would accomplish it?
Well, yes. I mean, absolutely. As you mentioned, you know, Maryland used to close down, essentially, and Virginia was kind of part of that Maryland circuit before, you know, when we took over in 2019 and after, what, a 6-7 year hiatus. So a lot of things have changed during that time and with year-round racing in Maryland. So, you know, with Maryland running pretty much at the same time, it's great to have the support of their horsemen as well and from everybody in Maryland supporting us. But we also knew, you know, you're going to have to supplement that as well. And I really give a great deal of credit to Allison DeLuca, and our racing secretary, and all of her racing team for, you know, kind of really hustling horsemen and putting that word out about how great Colonial Downs is. And, you know, obviously purse structure doesn't hurt. And, you know, when you're offering the kind of money, $612,000 a day, I think we've averaged this year, money, you know, attracts horses and horsemen. But I really do think it's a combination of so many things that have attracted horsemen from all over the country. And our facility and our track surfaces are so great. So all those things, when you have a lot of opportunities, you have to have reasons for people to choose you. And I think they've realized at Colonial Downs, it's a great place to run, and it's really good money.
Talking with Jill Byrne, the VP of Racing Operations for Colonial Downs. So, Jill, on the racing front, what was a meet highlight or two for you?
You know, a lot of people have been asking me about the highlights. It's just there's too many to really just single one out. Obviously, Virginia Derby Day was fantastic and great to see. You know, the quality of racing, great to see so many people out at the racetrack and having the governor and the first lady there. So that in itself is one big highlight. I think, you know, the jockey colony this year was a highlight in itself. Gerard Ortiz coming in and pretty much winning everything and only, I think he made three appearances. But the quality and the depth of our jockey colony, even, you know, without the mention of Irad, was just huge. And, you know, jockeys from Florida, from Illinois, from Maryland, obviously, our usuals, and all over the country, Kentucky coming in, I think had a great experience. So that's the big highlight to me. And the same with the horsemen and owners and trainers, everybody that have come in from different locations. And we had some Illinois people for the first time, Chicago people like Larry Ravelli and Chris Block, Mike Campbell, who'd been there before. He came back again. you know, with big stables and those things, word spreads fast. What a great training facility Colonial Downs is, as well as racing. So I just look at it as really one big highlight.
Now,
it's
looking
hard to
ahead,
just single out a specific race. You know, it's just that the entire thing was good.
Well, it's a good sign if you, you know, it's a good sign for your job that you enjoy your job if you're looking at it and saying everything is a highlight. So,
it's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. I think for me, it's just such a sense of team accomplishment. And I know, you know, that can sound a little, you know, everybody kind of says, oh, yay, I have a great team. But, I mean, I really do. And that is why I think some of these numbers that people see are so high and the praise is so high. Now, put together just this incredible group of people who are very passionate about the industry, about horse racing, love what they do. A lot of them coming from different places. A lot of them work together, but a lot, you know, don't, and just all coming together for the same interest and to really, you know, take a great deal of pride in what they've done to bring Colonial Downs and Virginia racing to this really high level.
Taking a quick look ahead here, Daryl Wood indicated earlier on this program that y'all are looking at 30 days of live racing next year. I wonder if you could sort of preview for us what you think the next couple of years look like for Colonial.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say right now. Obviously, the sale's not completely final yet, so a lot, you know, a lot will happen after that with Churchill Downs and see, you know, what their thoughts are. But, you know, they've been very positive in everything that, you know, has been accomplished to date, and looking forward to just really helping support that and keep moving forward. No days are set in stone yet. We won't, you know, work on that till probably October, start figuring out the schedule and everybody get together and see what works the best for all parties. But so I think in general speaking, the future for Virginia racing and the Virginia horse industry is really strong, and Churchill Downs obviously sees that as well and is just looking to help support and add on to what everybody has accomplished to date, all the stakeholders have accomplished to date. So I think it's all just positive news and adding more days and more racing and, you know, doing more improvement to the facility and just looking, I think it's all bodes very well for Virginia racing.
One more question, I'll let you go. As you have added days over the last several years, you've basically just added additional 3-day weeks, and I'm curious, I imagine you've thought about it, obviously nothing's written in stone, but as you start getting to, you know, 35, 40, 50 days, which sounds like it's a long-term goal, will you start to think about adding, you know, additional days per week, or would it, at some point, I imagine just adding 3-day weeks is going to get a little sticky.
Yeah, again, you know, that's a conversation that all the stakeholders will have, you know, probably in early part of October, and start figuring out what the, again, what that schedule looks like. Is it 4 days a week? As days get added, what days are those? You know, what post time? I mean, everything is available for discussion, and, you know, between the Horsemen's Group, the VHBPA, Virginia Equine Alliance, the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, and Churchill Downs when they take over, and myself as well, you know, we'll have conversations as to what's going to work out the best for everybody involved for Virginia racing.
All right, well, Jill Byrne, good stuff. Congratulations on really a fantastic meet. Really, congratulations.
Yeah, no, it was great, and we really appreciate all of your support and, you know, everybody who supported us throughout the meet. It's been an incredible 4 years, you know, the last 2 years back-to-back now, record-setting. So I think it's a trajectory, as you said, that isn't commonplace in horse racing right now, and Virginia's kind of taken the lead in that. So very proud of what everybody's accomplished, and looking forward to what the future holds.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much for joining us on this Saturday morning. I know you got other stuff going on, and we appreciate you making a little bit of time here for Off to the Races.
Thank you.
All right, Nick, back to you, my friend. That was Jill Byrne.
Boy, I tell you what, inside the rails and with the personnel and the facilities on the backstretch, don't you think that Colonial Downs could possibly one day hold a Breeders' Cup, even from a timeliness standpoint, you know, in early November? You know, it's not bad weather down there. You got warm conditions still that time of year. Need some work in the grandstand and need some work, you know, just with the general hospitality in order for that to happen. But inside the rails and just with the personnel that they have there, you know, a horse like Damon's Mound, never saw the racing side of Colonial Downs, but spent a lot of their time there in Michelle Lovell's barn, and that's a horse we're going to track moving forward at Colonial Downs. Just an exceptional meet, nice interview there. And we got a different kind of meet looming ahead this fall.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on this. Our friends at the Virginia Harness Horse Association and Daryl was talking with you about the Shenandoah Downs meet, but our we appreciate our friends at the Virginia Harness Horse Association coming on board to sponsor additional weeks here of Off to the Races. We're going to be able to run through now Breeders' Cup the first weekend in November, which is also the final weekend of the Shenandoah Downs meet. And each Saturday going forward, we're going to visit with Harness Horsemen and bring that product, which we do not talk about much here on Off to the Races, but we want to bring that product to life for our listeners as well. So each week we'll be talking with Virginia Harness Horsemen about their work, about their horses, about the racing product, and it should be a lot of fun. It should be a new side to the horse industry that we haven't talked about much, but I think will be really an interesting addition here on Off to the Races. So just wanted to flag that for people, something we're looking forward to going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to that meet. Good, comfortable air up there and small town feel. That's why I call it Shenatoga. yeah, thanks, Frank. Great interview with Jill Byrne, and congratulations to all those that helped all the way along the way, the backstretch, the grooms, the personnel in the grandstand, the racing officials, of course, the horsemen, the jockeys, the trainers, I mean, the grooms. Just a sensational meet at Colonial Downs. Very excited about Colonial's future moving forward. Thanks a lot, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Take care now.
We're moving ahead here on Off to the Races. Got Derby Bill just around the corner here on Off to the Races. But, just maybe trying to recap. I'll try and go through these relatively quickly here while we get Derby Bill lined up. Heavy in Toledo did end up with the riding title. I have him at 7 better than Lionel Reyes, who finished in second, but the 25 wins put him in pretty elite company when you think about past winners like Mario Pino and Edgar Prado and Sheldon Russell, and of course Horacio Caramanos, who had a good meet as well. So congratulations to Heavy in Toledo. We had him on the show last I think it was last week. Michael Stidham ends up with the training title with 13 wins. Look at this. This is how tough it was for trainers, at least, to win races at Colonial Downs. Over the 26-day meet, Stidham wins the training title with 13. You know, we've seen 2025 on that line before, but all the wins were just very well dispersed, and that just shows the local and national horsemen the impacts that they had moving in. And then the owners titled, same type of thing. David Ross and Larry Johnson tied with five wins by amassed by the leading owners of the meet. I mean, that just talks competition right there, and that's what made that meet at Colonial Downs really really special. My handicapping actually turned up, finally showed up the last two or three days of the meet. I won almost as much as I ran Ortiz. I actually had 10 wins on the card the last 2 days and finished on a positive note, even though the handicapping through the meet was tough. Very tough. Those were some of the title standings. Wolfie's Dyna Ghost won the Burt Allen on Wednesday on closing day, and that was just a great scene for Woods Lane Farm, their homebred. Arad Ortiz, of course, delivering the win there, but Tom Albatrani gets saddled the winner there. It was good to see him at Colonial Downs on Wednesday. Really nice guy. Todd Pletcher, not only did he win the Virginia Derby, won the Jamestown Stakes with a very impressive horse, Sendinero. Arad Ortiz, of course, the win there. How great would it have been if local horseman Karen Dennehy Godsey would have won the Nellie Mae Cox? Just came up a nose. We watched that replay several times. Six inches, I think, is all Unruly Julie needed to win that race. Instead, Victor Carrasco wins it with Tass, who was a bit of a price for Carlos Martin there. Spun Glass wins the Camptown Stakes. Michael Trembetta, Larry Johnson getting the win there. Boulder ran behind a wall of really talented horses, came up on the outside and wins pretty much at the place that Boulder only wins at Colonial Downs, Meadow Stable. Good effort there by the, I think, five-year-old horse there. Gigante wins the Kitten's Joy with Fergal Lynch aboard. And Oceanic wins the DeHaas Stakes. So just Determined Gesture wins the, I mean, this is the week it was at Colonial Downs, wins the Rosie Stakes. So just kind of recapping that. But the stakes action, and that's how full those last 2 days were, Colonial Downs. Just good to see. Hopefully Colonial will ride on that momentum moving forward towards next year. Want to introduce Derby Bill to the show here, bring him in. And, of course, he always selects his own intro music. Let's see what he has this week. One of the sad things is Derby Bill never got an opportunity to handicap with the Queen. Now, that's an opportunity lost. And Derby Bill always brought up the Queen when talking about Royal Ascot and in the Epsom Derby. And never, you know, the Queen was always close to his mind. And when the news came this week that the Queen had moved on, you were live on the internet. No reason to explain why you picked the music, but just thoughts on the Queen. I know the Queen had a big impact on Derby Bill. That's saying something.
Yes, God Save the King just doesn't do it for me. I like God Save the Queen a little bit better. She was a integral part of horse racing at Ascot, and Derby Bill's a integral part of horse racing with his ass in a cot. So, very similar.
What would the Queen have done with him? It's hard to imagine.
Oh, I would love to have a cup of tea. When she was here in Williamsburg, I would have loved to have a cup of tea with her.
I think we all would have enjoyed that. A couple notes on the Queen. She ascended to the throne in February of 1952. I think that pretty much predates anybody associated with Off to the Races by far. She used to open Royal Ascot with the Royal Ascot with open with her carriage ride, and she always attended that meet until really late. And she actually had her first winner when she was a princess on a horse. I'm going to try and get this right. Mo Naveen in 1949 was the first winner that she had, but she raced competitively through the 50s, the 70s, had some nice horses, High Claire and Dufermline. I'm not going to pretend that I know any of these horses. Paul Mall, Shirazoa, and of course they have the race named in her honor, Keeneland, coming up this fall. You know, so she, the blood horse said that her most successful year was last year of all things. So it would have been good to see her at the track, you know, Derby Bill. What do you think, you know, now moving forward?
Not sure what'll happen to Ascot. It'll be different over there, but over here we've got Kentucky Downs, and we've got Keeneland, and the tribute to Queen with the race, the stakes race named after her, which she would probably have her binoculars out. She's a classic lady, classic horse racing lady, through and through. So cheers to her, and cheers to everybody that won money at Clonal Downs this year. Quite a degeneracy.
Let's talk a little bit about what the meet meant for you at Colonial Downs, and just your thoughts on the meet. You know, Arad Ortiz's performance. Love to get your thoughts about you know those last 2 days, even though everything else was sort of dispersed and the jockey title sort of switched leads several times before Toledo sort of took hold of it in the late weeks of the meet. But, you know, what Colonial coming to a close, what were your observations of the meet?
Obviously, the product is solid, and the gambling world loves it. I mean, on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, the degenerates just eat it up. And, you know, I'm not shocked like most people by the $6 million handle when no other tracks are running. You're pretty much the target industry the last 2 days of the meet. So the shocking was $6 million. I mean, I figured, you know, I had over under about $10 million on the last couple of days, because it's just the gambling industry is just booming. I mean, it's like 24/7 sports and horse racing. Every track's handles up. It's amazing. I saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming this fast. And the Colonial meet was just a solid opportunity for people shipping in from out of state. The Chicago people gave them an opportunity to run here, which is good, because Arlington pretty much crap only there with Arlington Park closing down. So, and it's good to see them get an opportunity. And then, the gamblers loved it, Nick.
Before we get into the handicapping, just want to give one more shout out on the Pacific Classic. I like the comment line on the chart. Bumped between starters dominated is the line at the end of the actual chart. And the footnotes, this is Flightline, of course, took control at the 5/8 pole, disposed of Extra Hope at the half-mile marker, powered away at the far turn, roused an upper stretch, and widened through the lane, then coasted in the late to win impressively. What do you think of Flightline's performance? John Sadler, the trainer, Horonis Racing, the owner, and Flavian Pratt delivering that win Saturday night.
So far, it brings back glimpses of Secretariat. I mean, the horse is well, everything. Everything he's done has been perfect so far. So we'll see. We'll continue. Yep. I'm not putting him in Secretariat category yet, but that was most impressive win I've seen in a long time.
Pimlico has a big day today. Hi-Ho Pimlico, the meet is back on in the fall part of the year. They run the All Along today at Pimlico, a race that used to be run here at Colonial Downs. What are your thoughts on Pimlico? Do you have a pick for the All Along or the Baltimore-Washington International?
Yeah, the Baltimore-Washington Turf Cup is actually the Colonial Downs Turf Cup of old. When Colonial had the infighting and went under, they pretty much moved the race up to Baltimore. And it used to be called the International, then the Colonial Turf Cup, and now it's back to a rendition of the Baltimore-Washington. And hopefully they go as fast as the airplanes there. Nick, a nice four stakes race in a row card for the reopening of Pimlico. So you got $75,000 race and the 100. I mean, a 200 for the BWI. Obviously, Chad Brown has two in here, and Chad's a little perturbed he didn't win anything at Colonial Downs. So look for Chad Brown next year at Colonial Downs, because I don't think he likes being over at a track. So look for him to ship a few better horses next year at Colonial Downs, but he shipped a couple in here. The BWI race, Brad Cox is in that one too. Chad Brown has Sifting Sands, nice out at Saratoga. Both of these are coming down from Saratoga, so it's a one and a two in the BWI. And the other one you asked me about was the All Along.
Yep,
the All Along is race seven. That's the one. Luke Lucerne. I got a little mild upset here for you. And Spirit of Barry Spears, 6-1. Yeah, I don't think he bets on anything under 6-1. It's coming in off an all-weather track, so it's kind of interesting to see him jump on the turf. So, but 6-1, I'm going to try a price there with number one. Luke Lucerne, race 7, Pimlico, All Along 6.
All Along, Graham Motion doesn't have a horse in this race. When he owned this race when it was a Colonial, he won it, I think, four times, twice with a Filmmaker. Got about a minute for Kentucky Downs. I know you have some thoughts there. What are your thoughts on your plays at Kentucky?
Well, tied with Colonial Downs. Kentucky Downs has a 14% pick four, all stakes, $3.2 million. $3 million races in a pick four, Nick. I mean, that's what Colonial Downs did with the pick five, innovative wagering drives handle. I mean, it was done well at Colonial Downs this year with the pick five, almost $1 million in that one time. And then today, God knows how much money will be in this one. Pick four is the Mint Million, the Ladies Turf, the FanDuel Turf. They have more money than Fort Knox, Nick. I mean, it's incredible. Some like it brown. Pixelate, as Barry Spears said, is 5-1 in the Mint Million. I like a horse called Some Like It Brown. 9-2, so Barry probably wouldn't take it because it's under 5-1. But Field Pass is in this race too, and he was scheduled for Maryland too, but he scratched out of Maryland and he's racing for the big bucks at Kentucky Downs here. So there's a couple for you in the Mint Million.
There you go. Yeah, great racing action continues despite the meet closing at Colonial Downs. Derby Bill, appreciate it.
All right, I'll get my ball sulky out.
All right. Yeah, Derby Bill, maybe give us some plays at Shenandoah this fall. We'll be looking forward to that. Want to thank everybody on the show today. Daryl Wood, Barry Spears, Frank Vespi, Joel Byrne wrapped up the Colonial Downs meet, and of course, Derby Bill just now. James Flowers, great job today. I'm your host, Nick Hong. We'll see you next week on Off to the Races, post time, 10 o'clock. All you need is faith.